In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with, this is letter number 8 of St. Anna de Francia to Louisa. And this is something that's it's astonishing. St. Anna de Francia was the spiritual director to Melanie of La Salette. And he read the writings of Melanie. He knew very, very well what Our Lady said to Melanie. And if you really want to find where St. Anna de Francia is, this is a good place to go, is to the writings of Our Lady of La Salette to Melanie, and how important this is to the church, to the world, but how important it was to St. Anna de Francia. And here he starts, JMJA, it's always Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and Anthony. And this is 10:15, 1926. Blessed daughter, in Jesus Christ, our highest good, His Excellency, Monsignor Archbishop of Trani, to whom you belong, gave me jurisdiction over you as far as your writings and their publication. That is, to handle you and to dispose the publications as I believe is right. And those are his words, he said. So with St. Anna de Francia, he was told by Jesus in volume 19, you're the one that I've given this mission to. And now, see, he's now repeating what Jesus told Louisa to tell St. Anna de Francia. And now the Archbishop has said, you're in charge of this. So everything that he was told is now coming to fruition. It's happening. So he says, these faculties embrace everything you have written until now, everything you will write in the future. So here he, as Jesus said, you are in charge of these writings. So everything that we do in the divine will, especially with the writings of Louisa, we always give honor to St. Anna de Francia because it is his job to give these writings to the world. And how glorious is this, that he was told this by Louisa. Jesus said to him, this is what you, Father, are going to name these writings. It was a command from Jesus to St. Anna de Francia to say that the Book of Heaven, this title, this beautiful title, was given to him to put on the books. So he says, the same Monsignor Archbishop was so benign as to place so much trust in me on this matter, blessed Jesus disposing it so. So he's recognizing that this is a command from heaven, a command from Jesus Christ himself. And you see the humility of St. Anna de Francia. And it was so great that Pope St. John Paul II at the canonization of St. Anna de Francia said very clearly, if you want vocations in the world, pray to this priest, pray to this canon, St. Anna de Francia, for vocations. So if you don't have vocations, you need vocations. We want vocations. St. John Paul II told us it's through St. Anna de Francia. So he says, as blessed Jesus disposing it so, that he, the Archbishop, appointed me, as you know, ecclesiastical of a revisor for the publications of the three dioceses. And he went to the point of committing himself to placing his authoritative imprimatur after my nihil obstat. And he began to do this without even examining one single volume. Now you see here, the bishops are packed with things to do, and they're balancing all that God is asking them to do, all that the church is asking them to do, all that the Holy Spirit is personally asking them to do. And numerous times a bishop has to trust those that he puts in charge to give back to him what he, the bishop, needs to know. And so, you know, a lot of times I know people say, oh, I want to give this to the bishop. I want to give that to the bishop. It's usually given to someone in second in command, third in command, who will then give that blessing to the bishop. And this is what's happening here. He began to do this without even examining one single volume. So he knows that the people that are around Luisa, Archbishop Carata, when he was a seminarian, you know, he resigned, I think it was just before the year 2000. It was earlier than that. Sorry. He resigned just before, it was really 1990, around there, I think. He, as a student, studied the writings of Luisa. And he would always, when he spoke, he would always tell us that this was part of his upbringing, was Luisa. And when you think about it, you know, we learned about it, you know, much later than he did. And yet he was enamored by Luisa. He was the one that was helping getting everything ready, you know, with the Association Luisa Picaretta, proved ecclesiastical authority, if you want to say, that the bishop gave to the association. So here, from this, you can understand how well everything was will of God. So here, St. Honorable is saying to us that everything is in God's plan. And in the divine will, that's what happens with us. As we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, Jesus is getting everything ready according to his plans. So he says that regarding the double aspect of yourself in relation to your writings and of the writings themselves, present and future, you are under my exclusive obedience. So this is something that is so wonderful to hear, that the bishop has given authority to St. Honorable de Francia. St. Honorable de Francia now, with that authority, says to Luisa, you're under my exclusive obedience. So she continues to write, and what happened was, as he reads, as he studies, what is happening at that point is he's becoming enamored by the writings of Luisa. So let us not even consider that something similar can be seen in your recent revelations. But above these, there is the concept of aforementioned authorities over you and over the writings given to me by ecclesiastical authority. So he says, let's just begin. See, a lot of people had trouble with Luisa because Jesus tells Luisa that what Jesus speaks is the language of heaven. And for some individuals, they could not understand the language of heaven because it's so simple. It's so beautiful that you have, with every language, you have to learn the language. You have to become fluent in it to understand. And so the more that you read, the more Jesus gives you that understanding of this language of heaven. So this is again what Jesus is asking of us as well, to understand that she was under ecclesiastical authority. These are not just her just saying what she wants to say and trying to promote herself. She didn't want anybody to know. She was very humble, very little. And Jesus, St. Honorable says, I said exclusive obedience to myself because two directions in the same company cannot be admitted. And that's what I've heard people say to me. I said, you know, I would say to them, do you have spiritual direction? And he goes, oh yes, I talk to many priests. That's not spiritual direction. Spiritual direction is where you reveal your soul to the confessor. And the confessor, again, is given an insight by God to understand where that person is. I mean, sometimes what people do is they go to one priest, then they go to another priest, then they go to another priest to get what they want. I want to hear this. And that's not how God works. So he says, exclusive obedience to myself because two directions in the same company cannot be admitted because they are inevitably disappointments which might arise. One could no longer go on. So with this surrender that Luisa gives to St. Honorable de Francia is important for us as well. St. Teresa says that if you direct yourself, you will direct yourself into hell. You need that direction. No one can 100% affirm one, this is what God wants. you have to be under the direction, the submission of a director. I mean, that's just how God works. It's no one can discern what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I've seen it over and over again where a person says, well, I know what I need and I'm going to do what I need. And it's like, that doesn't help. That's not good. As he says, this does not alter the fact that occasionally I may take to heart the observations which I may receive from my dearest Father Benedetto Calvi. You know, Father Calvi loved the writings of Luisa, but he also caused great harm to Luisa. He wasn't Luisa's spiritual director. He was her pastor. And when he was reading, when people were saying, I don't like the Hours of the Passion, I don't like the Book of Heaven, he says, well, let me look at it. And he looked at it, and he crossed out pages, and he would say, it really means this, and he'd write it in there. And then he'd take on that, this is not good. Let's put this in fact. Well, when the writing, those two books were condemned by the Vatican, Luisa condemned them. She says, these aren't the writings of Jesus. these are Father Calvary. He's a good friend, but this is not what Jesus said. And she says, I condemn these writings as well. So her writings were never really condemned. That's what Cardinal Ratzinger said in 1990. Her writings were never condemned. They were the, if you want to say, retranslations of Father Calvary. And he was a good, like you'll hear this here. He was Father Calvi, whom I have admired the great care he has for you, Luisa, for the precious revelations from you, Luisa. And I feel no jealousy that he, Father, may read those which are to come even before I do, giving me his opinions, making his observations and the like. So what we have with Luisa is directly from Jesus Christ, directly from the Blessed Mother. What Father Calvi did was change those words because, again, these are the words of heaven. This is the heaven language. He didn't comprehend it correctly. And so he changed it and modified it, which was not good. So when somebody says, well, I know Luisa's writings were condemned. No, they weren't. According to Cardinal Ratzinger, they were never condemned. What was condemned was the mistranslation of Father Calvi. That which is important in the carrying out of this matter is that you, Luisa, he and I prayed most humbly and fervently to the highest God, to the Father of light, the adorable Jesus Christ, our most loving Lord, and the most holy Virgin Mary, our saints, our angels, et cetera, et cetera. So here he says that when he came to see Luisa, he would pray with the pastor, humbly and fervently praying. And then that we may not be mistaken in such a delicate thing, but that a divine light may assist both writer and interpreter and compiler, so that in no way may we go out of the boundaries of the divine revelation. And again, this is something that's essential. On page 111, right dead center in the page, Jesus says, he called the angels who prostrated themselves with their faces to the ground to pray. And then the two priests who were supposed to see the writings were there present. And Jesus told the angels to touch their foreheads in order to impress in them the Holy Spirit. This might be the two priests who were with Luisa. And so as to infuse in them this divine light, in order to make them comprehend the truths and the goods that are in these writings. So this prayer here is essential for anyone and everyone who wants priests to know the divine will. Every priest in your parish, every priest in the world, Jesus says, is going to enter into this gift sooner or later. So what are we called to do? Again, we pray to the holy angels to touch the foreheads of our priests, of our pastors, of our associates, in order to impress in them the Holy Spirit, to infuse in our priests the light in order to make them comprehend the truths and the good that are in these writings. Pray that prayer. It's powerful. Why? It's the prayer that Jesus prays. And we pray that prayer as God's command. Lord, you prayed this prayer. We pray this prayer. Let it be your command. Touch the foreheads of every priest. Infuse in them. Impress in them the Holy Spirit. Infuse in them the light, this divine light, to make them comprehend the truths, the good that are in these writings. This is a key. This is a powerful prayer. It should be part of every one of our prayers. Everyone who's in the divine will, we should be praying this, knowing that the Lord is asking us to do this. And this is what's so great about it, is God is doing it. God is leading. As we read, he teaches us more. As we study, he teaches us more. As he says here, enter this gift, that we may not be mistaken in such a delicate thing. This is going to change the face of the earth. I remember when we went, and it was 27 years ago on the 2nd of February, the presentation, the 2nd of February, Purification of Mary, the 2nd of February, the Candlemas Day, the 2nd of November, this new and divine way of holiness came out of the Vatican. It was hidden in the secret archives for 58 years. And then now we have it. This new and divine way of holiness is here. As we read, as we study, each one of us is going to enter into an understanding that is unique for each and every one of us. It's the same truth, but it depends on your docility, your submission, your surrender of what God wants to bring about. And he's going to do it. This is the great thing. So he says, and may in no way we go out of the boundaries of the divine revelation, and that in everything we may be conformed to the divine prudence with which one must receive and deal with similar excelling supernatural revelations. He's not shy with these words. I mean, he knows what's there, that pass through the human channel. That's Louisa. From the divine through Louisa, the human channel, which is not always complete, emptied, and subjective imperfections, not intentionally, but accidental, as the mystics teach. So when we look at Louisa, you know, some people say, well, she only had a first grade education. She's not bright. But I've mentioned to you before, my priest friend who has doctorates in philosophy, when he read, the first thing he read, he says, no human wrote this. He says, God speaks like this. Humans don't. And I was just admiring him, because he could have said, well, this sounds like Saint so-and-so, or this sounds like Saint. No, he says, humans don't think like this. So our job is to enter into this gift and pray to Saint Honorable de Francia, pray to Father Calvi, that they help us pray that your priest is the angels touch the forehead of every priest, of every bishop, of every cardinal, of every deacon, so that the clergy will begin to enter into this new and divine way of holiness, which is so glorious. Therefore, we have great need of praying tirelessly. Again, pray for your priests every day, and God will change them. Remember what Jesus said, or Louisa said to Jesus, she said, one of her spiritual directors said, nope, you're not going to do this. You're going to do this, which was exactly the opposite of what Jesus told Louisa. And Louisa, this is early on. And Louisa said to Jesus, do you want me to obey him? He's saying exactly the opposite of what you said. He says, yes, obey him. I'll change him. You obey, I'll change him. And that's the thing that's so beautiful, is as you pray, if the priest says, no, we're not going to have this here, you say, thank you, and you go back the next year or next month. And you could say, Father, have you reconsidered this? Have you read this? And he will say, I don't have time for it. I don't want it. I don't need it. And you just keep on praying and everything will change. Why? Because God wants this. God wants this. And that's why he says, we have great need of praying tirelessly. We cannot take a mission so important lightly or superficially. this mission is to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's our mission with Louisa. It's to change the face of the earth. That's our mission that was given to Louisa. She's the one. And Jesus says, you know, I'm so happy of what's going to happen because of Louisa. He says to us, do you want to participate in this great joy that's coming about? Do you want to be part of what I'm going to have Louisa do? And when we say yes, he goes, good, read, study, put this into practice. It's her mission. But he's offering this to us as if it was our own mission, but it's hers. She's going to do this. That's why he says, we cannot take a mission so important lightly, so important that superficially. This has to become our everything. It has to become our life. And that's why I say, when you're reading, nothing's the same anymore. Everything begins to change in your life. The worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, to the point of sin, begins to disappear. I mean, you're going to struggle. If you've been worrying all your life, you've been feeding that demon all your life. You've kept that demon alive in you all your life, and you're filled with worry. And worry says to Jesus, you're not a good God. I can't put it in your hands. You know, so I'm going to worry about this. And God goes, let me take care of it. I'm God. I can take care of it. Let me do this. When we starve that demon of worry out of our life, he flees. When we say, Jesus is going to take care of this, I trust in you, Jesus. The final devotion he said to St. Faustina that I give to my church before I return is Divine Mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I hope in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. You're going to do this. I know you are. I don't have to see it because I know you're God, and you say it, and I know it's going to be done. There's so many people that want facts now, like prove it to me. I want proof. And it's God loves the faith in him. Like every healing, when you look in the scripture, sacred scriptures, every healing, like the woman, I mean, that's the clearest one, 18 years of hemorrhaging. And in Leviticus, it says, if you touch the hem of the Messiah, you will be healed. And that's the tillit, the prayer shawl that he wore. And she touched the hem. If I only touch his hem, she said, I'll be healed. So Jesus turns around and said, who did this? He knew who did it. Who did this? Why? He wanted to hear from her. Why did you touch my hem? And I can guarantee you, she said, because I believe you are the Messiah. And what are Jesus' words? She probably whispered that to him. He says, it's your faith in me that has healed you. So this is why worry is so, it's such a sad thing to do. I mean, most women say to me, you don't understand. I have to worry about my family. I have to worry about my children. I have to worry about my grandchildren. No, you consecrate them to Jesus and Mary. You place them in their hands and you say, I trust in you. I know you're going to take care of them. To Jesus, you're my Lord, or you're my Savior, you're my Master, you're my King. I know you're going to take care of this. It's the same thing with everything else. If you're fearful, oh, I'm so afraid. You know, love casts out all fear. If we really begin to know Jesus, there's no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no complaints, there's no negativity, to the point where there will be no more sin. That's what's coming. This great event that's coming. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be glorious. And our God is asking us, are you going to trust me? I will take care of it. And this is what makes God happy. And this is why the miracles are happening. You know, even with people who have sicknesses that there's no cure. I've heard two of them this past week, praying with a relic of Louisa, instantly healed. It's Jesus You are my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. You say Louisa is your little daughter, the firstborn, the newborn of the divine will. Okay, through her intercession, Jesus, I would like my friend, my loved one to be healed. And it happens. The miracles that are going to come through Louisa are going to shock the world. It's Louisa is not a saint. She was called Louisa La Santa, Louisa the Saint. But Saint Father Bucci said that she will be known as the saint of the divine will. The saint of the divine will. And you're going to see so many miracles. You needed one miracle for John Paul II to be blessed, one miracle for John Paul II to be canonized. The miracles that are come through Louisa, it'll shake the world. It really will. It'll shake the world. People are going to be overwhelmed by this little newborn. And this is what's coming. This, you can see this in these writings. Saint Honorable de Francia, he's very humble. He knows he has to pray. He has the ecclesiastical authority. This is a delicate thing. He says it's going to change the face of the earth. He knew this. That's why when he was dying, he said to his religious community, "My only focus is the divine will." And they looked at him like, "What about us?" You know. And it was basically, "My only focus is this." As the veil was lifting as he was dying, he began to see clearly how this is going to change the face of the earth. This is going to make the church holy, beautiful, spot free, wrinkle free. The bride's gown is going to be beautiful because of what's coming. So as Jesus says here, and we must consider how many times in these revelations our Lord repeats to you, Louisa, to be attentive to writing faithfully. And he says to us, be attentive, and that's reading faithfully. Every time you see the word writing, Louisa, you got to write this. Louisa, you got to put this down in writing. Louisa, make sure you say everything, write everything down. Jesus is saying to us, read it. Read it. Make sure you read everything. Don't lose a word that I say. As the word of God, Jesus saying these words, he knows that it's changing us. It's changing the face of the earth. As one individual reads, it's affecting the entire world. And that's why he says this, we must consider how many times in these revelations to you, Louisa, our Lord repeats to you, Louisa, to be attentive to writing faithfully, and to us, be attentive to reading faithfully. That's why he said, if you're reading the book of heaven, tell Jesus, okay, I'll read for a half an hour a day, and then be faithful to it. Read every day, study every day, be faithful every day. That he, with that which he reveals, so that the meaning of what he says may not be altered. And I've heard a number of people alter Louisa's writings. And people say, well, I don't need to pray the rosary anymore. I'm living in the divine will. And I go, Louisa always had the rosary in her hand, always had the rosary in her hand. She, you look at her pictures. She always was focused on our Eucharistic Lord, especially when she was back in church, back in the chapel of St. Anthony. Where when her doors were open, the doors of the church were open, and there was Jesus in the tabernacle. And when you read volume 25, you hear it. Finally, 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 after 40 years, she says, I am now with you, Jesus. You are my prisoner, and I am your prisoner. This love that she has for Jesus is just the last 10 years of her life, basically, of writing. She was right with Jesus, and it's how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, how to go back to where Adam was before the fall, how to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. It's just so amazing. Be attentive to the writings, be attentive to the readings faithfully, which he reveals so that the meaning of what he says may not be altered. That one different word, one comma more or less, or out of place may alter it even unintentionally. And that's why they always say the translator is the traitor. The translator is the traitor, especially, you know, in the romantic languages, there's two words basically for one word, two meanings for one word. And it all depends on who's translating. If they're not prayerful, if they're not, if they don't know the dialect, if they don't know the Apulian dialect, if they have only know the Roman dialect, you're not going to get the same translation. You can't get the same translation. The translator that did our translations, and the Vicar General told us they were the best at that time, was from Puglia, the area. And she said when she read the volume, she heard her grandmother speaking the dialect, heard her grandmother explaining to, you know, what this means. And it's so beautiful to know that the translations that we have in English are the best, according to the Vicar General. So we must also consider the repeated complaints of our blessed Lord Jesus, because he commands you to neglect nothing of what Jesus reveals, what Jesus says to you, be it even the most minute thing, and you do not do it exactly. So he's reprimanding Louisa, as Jesus would reprimand Louisa. Remember that one part in volume 17, May 4th, 1925, Jesus said to Louisa, "Louisa, did you write everything down?" She said, "Oh yes, I wrote everything down." He goes, what if I told you, you did not write down the most important part?" I'm sliding off my chair. "The most important part of the, what I told you." She goes, "Tell me again." And what does he say? He says, "It's you, Louisa, that I give this writing to. It's you, Louisa, that has this gift that will be given to all the world through you, Louisa." And she goes, she basically says to him, "You're joking with me. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. How can you say that it's through me? I'm nobody. This again shows the humility. How many times have I heard people say, "The Lord said this to me and it was very powerful." And okay. Maybe he did. But Louisa, she knew her nothingness. She lived in her nothingness. And again, that's one of the main things to live in the divine will, is to live in your nothingness. If you think you're something, if you think you're important, if you think, "Well, I've got this, I possess this," it's like, no, you don't. Just keep on reading and you'll find out why. Just keep on reading. Jesus doesn't put you down, but it's such a high plateau that he's calling us to. One person, he says, has done this. It's Louisa. The rest of us, I mean, we have our own lives. Louisa was put in bed and stayed there for the rest of her life. She, you know, all she could do is read, study, and put this into practice, because this is what God wanted. And she did this for 70 years, Father Archbishop Piccieri says. 70 years. You know, we've done it very poorly, number one, very haphazardly. But it hasn't been to be. She, look at the picture of her looking up. She's in ecstasy. She's in ecstasy after receiving Holy Communion for 2 hours. How many of us spend that time after receiving Holy Communion? 2 hours of adoring God. She prayed an hour before, getting ready for this gift. 2 hours before. And then the Holy Mass was an hour. And then 2 hours later, 5 hours for the Holy Mass every day. I can't compare to that. I don't know anybody who can. She's the one who possesses this gift. So Jesus says this, and this is again why it's so important. How much patience Jesus had with you, for the great love Jesus has for you, Louisa, for the great love with which you love Jesus. And I often praise him and I thank him and I bless him on your behalf, Louisa, for the great patience he has had with you, Louisa. She's the one who possesses this gift, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. God is offering this to us. But we got to learn the language of heaven. We have to listen to him. He's going to guide us, direct us. He says he's the teacher. He's the master. He's the king. He's the Lord. And he wants us to be with him. Some time ago, you wrote that you were afraid of obediences and that I may give you. But it is about time that you banish these fears of your love of self. Here's something that's important. If you're afraid, it's love of self, as well as any reluctance or repugnance when it comes to the glory of God and the good of souls. So here, see, Annibal de Francia puts it directly to us. Don't be afraid of this. This is for the glory of God that all humanity is going to enter into. This is for the salvation of souls that all humanity is coming into. And Jesus is saying to us, as you enter this, others are entering into it. Your family is changing while you read the writings. You might not see it, but they're changing interiorly. God is getting everybody ready for what's coming. He says, until now, you have formed for yourself affordable idea of a holy obedience to the point of comparing it almost to a tyrant. That's funny. It is time to change language. So he's saying to her, you know, you're not listening to Jesus. You're looking at obedience as a tyrant. It's time to change your language. Imagine a new obedience. So here, St. Annibal de Francia is teaching Luisa, what I want you to do is to begin to learn what obedience really is. Instead, like a most passionate mother who has one daughter alone, whom she loves dearly, and all of her commitment is in raising her a saint, in rendering her holy of Jesus for the net of souls in the Holy Church, and the most docile instrument in the hands of God. That's Luisa. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to raise us up first as a saint, volume 1 through volume 10, and then to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, volume 11 through volume 19, and then receiving the divine inheritance of the Father, volume 20 through volume 36. Rendering her completely of Jesus. Rendering her a copy of Jesus, holy and saintly, as Jesus, not as a saint. A net for the souls in the Holy Church to capture everyone. As Jesus said to the apostles, you are now become fishers of men. The most docile instrument in the hands of God. As much as she is tender and compassionate in love toward this only daughter, this mother, who has her origin from the very heart of Jesus, will yet be strong in using all the appropriate means for the success of her beloved daughter. That's each and every one of us. God is going to make of us, he says to Luisa, his divine masterpiece, leading her to the purpose, or should she let herself be conquered or hindered by the laments, the little tears, or the childlike reluctances of her tender daughter. So here, everything is going to be done, and God is doing it. And he's doing this within, through, and for us, little by little. Each word that you read is another, atom that he adds to our being of living in the will of God. It's an atom. It's not a totality. Every act, he says, is every heartbeat, every breath is an atom that he places in the soul living in the divine will. He's forming us. He's to want the divine will, he says, is to conceive God within your heart. To do your acts and your rounds is forming that fetus as it grows day by day, year by year. He's asking us to enter into this abundant life. The great Lord of this tender mother is in the regions far away, and he has entrusted the little daughter to her so that this mother, tender and strong, may raise Luisa, raise us for him to true sanctity. That's what God's asking. Perfect observance of the commands of the mother to the extent of becoming completely submitted to her. This gift of the divine will, Jesus says, is like a mother that's nurturing us, forming us. And when the Lord comes to verify the happy outcome of the little daughter and finds her nature, her mature in holy obedience, and has then exhausted all his designs for the fulfillment of the third fiat, this is Luisa's job, then the beloved creature will be delivered to God once again. And having espoused her in the consummation of his most holy divine will, he will take her with him to the eternal wedding feast, heaven. And then he says, having considered all this, it is necessary, this is talking to us as well, that you, dearest daughter of in Jesus Christ, do the holy obedience, not by force and with pain, but generous spirit, with a holy joy and gaiety, knowing the of fulfilling in this way the divine will, and of cooperating for the glory of the Most High, for the greatest consolation of the heart of Jesus, and for the good of souls. But let us come to practice and how the adorable will of God for you is manifesting itself. So this manifestation that Jesus is giving to us is daily if we're reading. This manifestation of these truths, he says, I will teach you lessons. I will give you manifestations. I will give you knowledges. I will give you promises. I will give you prophecies of what I, God, am going to do. Do you? And he goes, do you want this? And when we say yes, he goes, good. Sit down and read. I will speak to you directly as you read. This is what Luisa did. And Jesus is offering this to us. He's offering this to us because the time is short. It's really, really short. It's, if you really look at everything, especially with Father Gobi and, you know, the apparitions throughout the world, you know, in Akita and all over, when you really begin to see Our Lady of Revelation, when she speaks to Bruno, when you really begin to look at everything, the time is very, very short. It's, we're in overtime, to tell you the honest truth. The John Paul II said, get ready for the third millennium, get ready for the glory of the church in the new springtime of mankind. And we're in it. We're in it. And it's happening. You have to understand, we have to become aware of what God is doing, especially with us, each and every one of us in the divine will. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Luisa. We pray that all the little children, the holy divine will, all their loved ones, all their families, that they all be divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.